Maybe there was a time when children liked clowns, but now not so much. There was that well-publicized 2008 study from England that found that most kids between 4 and 16 dislike and even fear images of clowns. Maybe you're among the many adults who find them creepy, too. Earlier this year, the New York Daily News reported that the U.S. is in grave danger of a clown shortage. Membership at the World Clown Association is down, and as older clowns retire, fewer young ones are stepping into their oversized shoes. Meanwhile, Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus reports intense competition for clowning jobs. So what's the truth? Lee Cowart traveled to a clowning convention to find out for herself. Her article, Don't Be Afraid of the Clowns, appeared in BuzzFeed. And Lee, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hello.
So how much truth is there to this declaration of a clown crisis?
Well, it's a yes and no. When you think about circus clowns, it is kind of a dwindling art form in that there aren't younger people signing up in the same numbers that there used to be. However, clowning is a lot bigger than just the circus. So when you talk about clowning, are we talking about circus clowns? Or are we talking about this very human and necessary way that we cope with things that are hard?
Well, where do those non-circus clowns find work?
Well, it helps to think about clowning as the opposite of stand-up. So compare Jon Stewart would be a stand-up comedian, and Stephen Colbert on his show is a clown. Because for Stephen Colbert, the joke is on him, and for Jon Stewart, the joke is, what am I observing? So the act of clowning is this very physical thing that invites the audience to laugh at themselves through the person that's performing.
But we think of clown, and we think of white face paint, big red noses, funny wigs.
Mm-hmm.
So where does that tradition of clowning come from?
Well, the American idea of the clown is very rooted in Ringling Brothers. The circus coming to town was a very big part of American entertainment, and that image is so iconic. So for Americans, it's this childlike entertainment. It's very big and fun and kind of scary up close. But for many other cultures, the clown is more of a political symbol.
Open that up for us a little bit, that's kind of the clown archetype. What are its origins?
So ancient clowns, or clowns from more primitive cultures, tended to be religious figures or medical figures. So they were very much an integral part of teaching the community the right way to act by demonstrating the wrong way to act. And also they could lampoon areas of tension and conflict with impunity. That is, they could make fun and it was protected because nobody wants to get into a fight with a clown. And so the ability of the clown to poke us in our softest, most vulnerable spots and make us laugh and not hurt is really important to just the survival and the enjoyment of daily life.
That is a sort of societal role that clowns used to play before in the, as you put it, you know, before Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus kind of days. But now people are really polarized about their feelings about clowns. Why do you think that is?
I think that's completely normal, and I don't think that's anything new. Jaron Aviv Hollander, a clown that I interviewed from Oakland, he said that Stephen King didn't make clowns scary. when he wrote Pennywise the Clown, he found something that was inherently scary, and he wrote about it.
And this was a character in his novel It, which was later made to a film.
Indeed. The first thing about clowns being scary is the makeup. And I like to refer to it as all caps face, because it was designed so that the people in the very, very back of these huge tents could have something to see and read on the performers in front. And you think about the way that these circus tents were lit, and it was candles, and they really needed huge eyes, huge mouth, a lot of contrast. And up close, it is the visual equivalent of being screamed at. Today, we interact with our entertainment at a very intimate level. You know, we have a tablet near our face. We look at our cell phones. And so if you, you know, get a text message and you look at your phone and it's a picture of a clown face right there, of course that's going to be scary. You're literally being screamed at with the makeup. So that's the first part of it. The other side of things is that there is an inherent disconnect. If you see someone with a painted-on smile and they're not smiling, then you already know they're lying to you. Hmm. And people who are lying, like, that is going to make you uncomfortable. And then they're lying to you by pretending to be happy. And there's something really unsettling about really innocent intentions. Like, if all they want to do is make you happy, and yet you're sensing that there is conflict within them based on makeup versus expression or their dedication to the bit or whatever, that's going to be uneasy for you. And that's a reasonable thing to recoil from.
But at the same time, when you told people that you were going to the conference, your friends expressed concern for your well-being. What's behind that? And were you at all nervous?
I was nervous. And it makes sense when you realize that clown makeup is a mask. And when someone's wearing a mask, there's an inherent level of discomfort there because you can't be sure that what you're seeing is real and that you can trust it and that you can trust them. Aside from that, there is something really unsettling about pressing the elevator doors and three clowns are just standing there. But at the same time, the great irony is that these people, like everyone I spoke to, was so dedicated to fighting that. Hmm. They really wanted people to not be scared of them. And it almost seemed like if they could just say, you know what, this can be scary, and here's why, and let's work on it. The clowns that were able to do that tended to have more success at things like birthday parties, whereas the ones who didn't want to acknowledge that they could be scary tended to be more likely to, say, overstep a boundary.
You referred a little bit earlier to this idea of clowns mirroring who we are, you know, like comedians mirroring who we are, or reflecting some parts of ourselves that we may not always want to acknowledge. So what do you think, after confronting your own anxieties about clowns at this conference, where do you come away? I mean, are they still serving some sort of essential role in society, or, you know, are they going the way of the buggy whip?
I think clowns will always be essential in some capacity. Now, we may be looking at a change. You know, there's a new generation of clowns, circus arts are coming back in a big way in the United States. So will there be a clown in 100 years? I think yes. Will it look like the clown today? Maybe not. But it will be absolutely necessary because they give us permission to laugh at ourselves and to laugh at all the things that are horrible or that we are scared of, all of the things that make us human and messy and all of those little idiosyncrasies that we like to hide because we're not supposed to show them. And the clown says, everybody else has them too. And it's so ridiculous. And maybe it's okay to laugh at that.
Well, the clowns that you spoke to mostly regard the clown shortage as a myth. But are they getting work? Doing what?
You know, at the convention, the joke was that there was no shortage because if there were fewer clowns, they'd be getting more jobs. And the feeling was very much competition for them hasn't changed. They're not feeling like, oh, clowns are retiring and I'm getting more work. In fact, most of them were like, this is just the media doing what they do. They really, it was completely disregarded. I don't think anybody took it seriously.
Well, Lee, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Lee Coward is a freelance journalist. Her work has appeared in The Independent, Vice, Deadspin, among other places. Her latest piece, Don't Be Afraid of the Clowns, was on BuzzFeed. And you'll find a link to look at her article as well as some vivid images from the convention she attended at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.